வச்சு ஐ இன்ட்ரடியூசிங் அவுட்யா ஐ எலன் பிரன் ஐ தி சேர்பர்சன் ஆஃப் தி செலக்ட் கமிட்டி ஆஃப் கம்யூனிகேஷன்ஸ் இன் பப்ளிக் என்டர்பிரைசஸ் அண்ட் ஐ எம் ரிப்ரசென்டிங் தி வெஸ்டர்ன் கைட் ஓவர் டு தி மெம்பர்ஸ் தேங்க் யூ.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Manja Khai, member of this committee representing the Eastern Cape.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. My name is Ulisi Lesepakun, member of this committee and from Northwest. Thank you.
Morning, Chair. My name is Leonard Fugila, member of the committee from Eastern Cape.
Thank you, Chair. Lampo, member of the committee from Khalde.
Thank you, member. Excuse me, are you struggling to sit? You fine now. Can you introduce
Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Norman Njarele. I'm the acting DG of the PLC. I'll ask my colleagues to introduce themselves.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Sikile Isindisa, the Chief Financial Manager for the OC.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Mato Pitusi from the Department of Communication.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Basani Baloui from the Department of Communications, Ministry.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Ntabile Mokitemi from the Office of the Deputy Minister.
Morning. My name is Batanda Mlambo. I'm also coming from the Office of the Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Mishima King. I'm from the Office of the Minister of Communications. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair. Sorry, I apologize for being late. I've cancelled the discussion representing the Western Cape.
Is there any people of the department?
Ms. Makam from the Minister of Communication.
Okay, thank you. Over to the support staff.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pumelele Sibisi. I'm the committee secretary.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Colin.
Good morning. I'm Beverly Soga. I'm the executive secretary to the chairperson.
Thank you very much. Can we then immediately go over to the department to do the presentation? I already did.
Thank you, honorable members. Let me start by thanking the committee for offering us the opportunity to brief you on our strategic plan for 15-16, 19-20, and also our annual performance plan. We really appreciate the opportunity. I'm not going to spend much time again to introduce the team. I think the colleagues have already done so. I'll go straight into the presentation. When I present, I will put more emphasis on the work that has got provincial dimension in it, and the areas that we will touch on the budget and the staff establishment. I think the last time we met here, we were saying that we were a few months old as a department, and I think safe to say now we are 1 year old now as a department, and we've been able to build capacity so that we can be able to deliver the services that the people require around communication matters. This slide here seeks to just give you an overview that we developed the start plan and the annual plan guided by the various statutes which guides how we should develop strategic plans. It is a very involved process which requires several iterations with the Department of Performance Monitoring, Performance Evaluation and Monitoring, and also the National Treasury is quite very involved in the process. Of course, you know, taking into account what the National Development Plan provides and the medium-term strategic framework of government, especially on the areas that talks to nation building and social cohesion matters for the country. This slide here just you know, indicates the process we follow when we develop the start plan. I'm not going to bore you with this, but I think the take-home message on this one is that the start plan that we do, all our entities, before they finalize the start plan and we fully finalize, we have one session with all of them where we can align the strategy so that whatever is in the current start plan is reflected in their strategic plans so that we can have a cohesive program. More so because the minister signed a further agreement with the president on the outcome 14, which talks to nation building and social cohesion, where our entities, for example, BNSA, ICASA, because of the elections issues, BNSA because of the you know, branding matters and all of those, play a very important role. So it's important, therefore, that we have that alignment that exists between us and our entities. So I thought we should, as a way of start, we should also give you. I thought before we get into the issues, it's important to give you the context within which this strategy and we do our work in terms of the environment we operate in. Safe to say that we the market for communication and media and content is increasingly become competitive, as we know. However, we have noted in the print media in particular that the question of transformation has not yet been realized. You find that you know, you still have the in the main the four big conglomerates. You know, we recall that after 94 we had companies that came, Jonik and all those companies, they also died. So we are back to what how the situation was in 1994. You used to have Naspers, Avusa, Texten and independent newspapers. Today you've got Media 24, Avusa, Texten, you know, and independent news. So this remains the status quo as it is. But we also take note of the work that MDD has done in establishing the community print media, wherein we've got a number of community print media that are operating in that space. But the challenge in that space is a challenge of the fact that most of the titles that you find there, they are mostly in Afrikaans and English in the main. They don't cater more for the you know, indigenous languages. And I think which is a challenge that I think as we move on going ahead. But I think the challenge there is that more often when the people apply for the grants, they will indicate that they will do it in, for example, in isiZulu. But along the way, because of the challenges around the circulation in the numbers, and attracting advertisement, they change along the way. So there's a need for a stronger M&E component that needs to that we need to do so that people are adhering to the license conditions. The next one is the broadcasting landscape. We know that today it's not only the SABC that provides broadcasting services, but those who are licensed, for example, in the free-to-air services, you've got ETV playing in that space, but also you've got in the subscription television, it's not only multi-choice, you've got Top TV and all of those. But the challenge here remains around the issue of access to premium content, you know, in the sense maybe sports and movies, for example, which drives an uptick of these services in this regard. Again, we have seen, you know, over time, introduction of a number of community radio stations. Almost every municipality now has got a community radio station, licensed one or another, but not all of them are operational. Some of them have got challenges. They close down. This is where we come in and assist them, you know, in that regard. The other challenge, again, just like in the print media, is around the advertising spend. Our sister organization, GCIS, the directive around show that 30% of the government ad spend is done through the community radio stations. As it were. Currently, we sit at 20%, which is something I think we need to push strongly, you know, to that. Municipalities, you know, use the community radio station, community print media to advertise for whatever that is happening in their localities. The last slide here, which talks to the situation analysis, is the issue about the digital revolution that we see. Today, people are consuming content using the mobile phones, generating content, there's WhatsApp, so all those technologies really, they have disrupted how you know, people access content. You can receive your television using your cell phone and all of those things. All of those things poses a challenge and says, how then do you regulate content as this industry, so that the content is is not harmful to the children in particular, and so on in that regard. So the, you know, the emergence of over the top services, you know, over the top services, meaning that in the video on demand, for example, Vodacom can allow me to be able to stream videos, you know, using the network. It's not necessarily that you require a television set, but you can do video on demand and all of those things. So the same thing that you see happens also in the telecom space, where now you've got WhatsApp, you can do WhatsApp calls and all of those things. All of those things affect how these services are consumed and poses the policy challenges for the policymakers on how do you regulate this. Because probably most of them are not streamed from here, they're streamed from somewhere in America or somewhere in Europe. You know, as it were, it poses a major challenge. Because they don't require a license to provide that service, as it were. So I'm not going to bore you with the issues about the vision. I think it has not changed. It's still the same one. Our mandate as a DOC, our mandate, we are a policy department. Our mandate to create an enabling environment for the provision of inclusive communication services towards Africans that promote socio-economic development investment through broadcasting in the main content matters, investment into the new media, print media and other new technologies, and also branding the country locally and internationally. Those are the values that we stand for as a department. You know, certainty, people-centered, quality of standards, integrity, responsiveness, and innovation. These are the goals that we've agreed. Therefore, the first one is mostly focusing on internal work that we'll do. The second one talks to the policy work that we do as regulatory work. In the main, you speak to the work of the department, the work of GCIS, and the work of ICASA. Improved country building, in the main, this is the work. This is the work of Prince of Africa, and transform communication sector to the work of in the main of the MDDA around media and diversity work. How do we implement this mandate? We do the policies, we improve the communication systems, the capacity of the department to do its work, and also broadening participation in the communications and broadcasting sector. We get our mandate from the piece of legislation. I think the take-home message in this slide is that we do have an international component in our work, you know, which is guided especially around issues of how you regulate radio frequency spectrum, the microwaves which transmit the signals set within the ITU, which is a UN specialized agency dealing with the issues of radio communication, and also the World Intellectual Property Organization, especially on matters relating to trademarks and intellectual signal piracy. I can make an example here. This is where issues that talks to, you know, for example, we find that somebody who is in Zimbabwe, for example, will be illegally intercepting the signal and watching broadcasting content, on the other side. So there are treaties which guide how those things need to happen. And also how, for example, SABC, when, for example, they've commissioned work, you know, from me, as a, you know, they are royalties that must be paid to me. But if SABC sells this to Zambian Broadcasting Corporation, it then sells, for example, to a company in America, they make money. How do I benefit as the somebody who has got the IP on that matter? So just all of those things are discussed at that level. So in here we try to link the goals that I spoke to with the objectives. I'm not going to bore you on this matters. But safe to say that the first one talks to our general processes. The second one talks to universal access to broadcasting services, which talks to the work that we do in the main at a provincial level, you know, as it were. Even the strategic goal 2.2 talks to the spectrum allocation, especially for community radio stations. You know, ICASA has put a moratorium on this because the is not enough spectrum, you know, especially, you know, in Gauteng and other parts, to license more community stations in this regard. The country building, you know, which is slide number 15, in the main is the work that the Prince of Africa will do. If I may go to this slide, this is internally focused slide number 16, focusing on the work on, I said we're a new department. We had to have systems in place and policy guidelines and all of those things. In the next 5 years, we'll focus on ensuring that we have got HRD and the development plans, and also ensuring that the battery is gone. Yeah. Do we all have the slide, right?
Yeah.
I'll just point to you where exactly I was in slide number 16. Slide number 16, which is internally focused, is the work that we do, the audit work that we do, and all of those things. But I think things to say here, there's a requirement that we are able to, you know, pay all invoices within 30 days, you know, for all the services which are rendered, and so on. On 2017, which is Universal Access to Broadcasting Services. We are in the process of reviewing the broadcasting policy, and we do have a draft green paper, which we, once it's gazetted, we will take it to all 9 provinces to consult with the provinces on its content, on its content. Also because it talks to the number of proposals we are making around how we regulate content and also how the SABC should be managed. The second one is on the Cast Amendment Bill, which is a technical amendment in the main. We will not take it to the provinces. It will just come straight to Parliament. You know, because it deals with only the operations of ICASA. The third one is on the community broadcasting support strategy, which so it's almost done. In here, it affects in the main the community radio stations and televisions on how we provide support for them. So we provide support in the community radio stations in 4 areas. The one area is on the signal distribution. So we provide subsidy to the community radio stations because they don't generate revenue, pay a certain portion of the signal distribution cost to Centec so that they continue to be on air. The second aspect is around infrastructure development. Where you go in community radio stations, it is the department or either the MDDA who build the studios which are being used there, in most of the community stations. So we literally commission entities to go and build the studios for them. Once that is done, we also train the people, the management of the station, those who are going to provide support staff on management skills, on financial skills, bookkeeping, and all of those things. As a way of supporting them to be sustainable going forward. And then the last area is all the content issues, program production. We are fortunate now that we are within the GCIS table. The GCIS has got a studio that is there, which at any given point in time we are able to connect up to 70, between 70 and 80 community stations, so that if there's an issue that government want to communicate, we're able to talk to the community stations at once. For example, we're running a project with the Department of Justice, where in every week there's a program, a phone-in program, that connects stations across the country. People can call in using their own languages. It's not only in English, any language that the station broadcasts, and able to ask questions about justice in the country. We would love to do the same for the community television, so that the infrastructure that sits at the GCIS becomes the nerve center that links up communities with the as a government, whenever it wants to communicate with the community, it's able to do so with ease. The next slide talks to the issue about the amending the MDDA development mandate. In here, we are saying the MDDA has been in operation since 2002 as an entity. It was a particular change in the history of the country. Therefore, the mandate has to be tuned and to be redesigned so that it responds to the challenges that we have today, and also the community media support in the print space. I think you'll be interested in the last one, supplying 25 community media stations with broadcasting infrastructure over the 5-year period. This is the work that we do with the MDDA, where we direct where these stations are, and which ones they must be supported
and so on. I think they normally every in the first quarter of every year we sit down and agree on the list on which stations are going to be supported in that regard. The next slide talks to the advisory body. This is mostly around the content matters. We are looking at this body to look at to give us also the provincial dimension so that we can be able to create or establish what we call provincial content hubs so that people don't necessarily have to travel to Gauteng or to Western Cape or Durban when they want to produce certain things. It can be done in the provinces. For example, the partnership that we have and working with the ECDC in the Eastern Cape, there is work that is happening in that area, so that there is capacity in that particular province. The next one talks to the work that we do in the digital environment, digital television space. We hope to switch off analog signal 2018-2019. I must say here, this is the work which is quite involved because we are going to follow a phased out approach on the DTT. There is a plan which indicates that we have started in the Northern Cape, in Kemos, the SKA area, already people are registering. People are watching DTT services in that area. We are clearing up. By June, we should be done with the Northern Cape. Already, again, in the Free State, we've been in the Free State from the 1st of February. People are registering in the Free State. And we are in Limpopo now. People are registering in Limpopo for them to be able to access a set of 3 set of boxes. And we are also registering people in Mpumalanga. That's last week we activated Limpopo province in Lephalale, where people are also registering for the. So you will see, honorable members, our approach is to focus on the borderline areas, the provinces where they might be interference with the neighboring countries, you know, as it were, you know, so that's it. Then is supported by whenever we do launch, we work with the structures in the provinces, which are there, the provincial government, the municipality, and the post office, so that people are able to. Therefore, we run awareness campaigns in all the provinces. When we launch, there are campaigns that we run in those particular areas. And I think there's been a very positive uptake of the messaging, you know, as it happens. The next one talks to our stakeholder engagement and the work that we do internationally, you know, as it were, which in our view is you know, is the work that we do at international level, which I think I want to invite the committee, that committee take interest in this work, because this is where most of the things about how you regulate broadcasting matters and how you allocate frequency spectrum for broadcasting purposes. For example, the issue of the migration is as a result of this work, that broadcasters must migrate from this band here, for example, into this one, so that you can provide broadband services, for example, and so on. So I think you know, it is important that I think the committee take interest, because normally the National Assembly Committee, whenever we go for the plenipotentiary, they always attend these meetings, and so on. The next one talks to the work that we do with entity oversight. Almost 94% of our budget goes to entities, so meaning that the entities are the delivery arms that we must use. So we must ensure that there is capacity within the department to manage them. Yeah, there are reports which are done and all of those things. Now, the next slide tries to capture the things that we'll be doing this year in the provinces.
its five community radio stations will be provided with broadcasting infrastructure. As I said, it's what it's what we will be sitting down with the MDDA and agree where exactly the stations are and which are we are going to be supporting, so we can provide that list to the committee so that you know which provinces we are going. So, but in the main, is to get, for example, the challenges has always been around where the stations are located. Very often, there's a need for working together with the municipalities, for example, whether you put the station within, the municipal infrastructure and all of those things. So I think we'll require that support. And then on the awareness campaigns, I spoke about, the switch on, this phased-in approach of switch on. So we'll do this in all provinces. We should be doing more on this, but we don't have financial resources to do this. But I think we're trying to be innovative and work with other touches so that we can be able to reach out. For example, in some areas where we go, the chiefs they volunteer, they take the forms, take them to their communities. People fill the forms. We agree on a particular day. We go and get the forms. Or they submit the forms through back to the post office, as it were. So there's that kind of working relationship with the traditional leaders. Switch off will happen in all provinces. As I said, our focus now is in Northern Cape, in the main. That by June we should be done in those areas. And then there's also an element of our entities. Whenever we go for this DTT, minister goes with all the entities that we have. All of them, they are part of that. They share their service offerings and all of those things with the entities. So the annual Christmas plan really just give details in terms of what the ANAM will be doing. In the main, I don't want to be really repeating what I've just said. In that regard. So if you can see, it's now going to ANAM exactly what we are going to be doing in those areas. This is our structure, case slide number 36. We are fairly a small department with four branches, and the five entities at the top. GCIS, honourable members, it is a department on its own. So I think it's not an entity, it's a department. So it's like what we have, for example, with the COCTA, for example. You've got cooperative governance, you've got a DG, and then you've got traditional affairs, you've got a DG. So I think in the future, Honorable Chair, I suppose they should also share their plans, with this committee and so on. I think so they can also account on the work that they do. But otherwise, those are our five entities. So the last branch, it's not being run by DDG. It's run by a chief director. Because we're a small department, you don't need such a bigger corporate services unit, so that we can focus more on the work that we do. This is the staff establishment that we have. We only have 86 posts which are funded. In the establishment is 324, but only 86 are funded. So in this regard, we have to be innovative and say, we've got a mandate, we must deliver. How do we do that? So we were able to we're going to get people on contracts who will come and assist us, especially in the digital environment. Because the success of digital migration relies solely on the ability to create awareness for people to be able to go and register and get the boxes. Just that just shows us that. I will now hand over to the CFO to just check you through quickly on the budget that we have. You will see that we are seriously underfunded as a department. seriously underfunded. And also we don't use consultants, you know, in the department. The establishment of the department was done in-house by the people who are in the department. So we are few, but we are trying to tap into the talents that we have so that we can get a department which is functional. And so I don't want the CFO to do the presentation on the finances. I just say quickly, thank you.
First, DG, good morning, honorable members, and good morning, Chair. Our budget is very slim. If you look at slide number 39, for 16 and 17, our budget is 1.3. We only have an increase of 6.3% for 17 and 18 to 1.4, and 6.7% for 17, 18 to 18, 19 to 1.5. But if you look at it all in all, in terms of slide number 40, it says per program. In program 1, we only have 45 million. Program 2, we have only 8.4 million. Program 3, we have only 10.8 million. And program 4, which is where our entities lie, you could see that huge amount of move, which is 95% of our budget going into our entities. So that's in all how our budget looks. So we try to even show it by economic classification that if you look at the slides, our biggest chunk of money goes into transfers because of entities, and they've come the compensation of employees as a newly department. You will realize that you build capacity inside and deal with that. We only having 15.9 million for goods and services in this financial year and 84,000 for capital assets, which is very, very little given the kind of department in terms of structure we need to be. We said it's very important that the committee must note the budget for the department, excluding the entities, so that you can see our budget as a department is only 75.2 million. And out of that, program 1 is getting 45, program 2 is 8.4, 10.8 for program 3, and 10.8 for program 4. And in terms of economic classification, the bigger chunk will go to compensation of employees and goods and services and payment capital assets. So we are really squeezed in terms of the budget for this current financial year, and our biggest challenge is that if we can't get the necessary bailout, you can see, imagine the 6.2%, it might not even cater for conditions of improvement in service for officials and so on. But we said we will live within the cost containment measures that has been pronounced by the President and the Treasury, and make sure that we become innovative in terms of implementing certain projects, as the DG has said. Because given our goods and services budget, it might be difficult for us to do all the work that we have planned as a department. But if we become innovative and agree and build a partnership with certain stakeholders, we may be able to agree and implement our project properly. But we have also agreed with the DG and the minister that we will approach Treasury in the coming months to make sure that we get the necessary funding for the department to be fully functional, and for sure the committee will get updated as and when we get new improvements or directives from National Treasury. Thanks, Chair. Thank you
very much.
Then Honorable Package, you can introduce
want to tell if you exactly.
And as Connie's doctor. Thank you, CFO and DJ. You are confirmed that DJ. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry for not employing the consultant. We want to congratulate you for that. Consultants are making our government and they are enjoying taking out this mega resources of Kenya resources that we're talking about going to their pockets. After they've left, we remain with their grandiose ideas in black and white in our offices without any significant impact. Two questions that I have, DG. On page 7, where you talk of temporary regulatory regime to ensure the adherence. You are talking of Apple, Google, BlackBerry. Why that measure will just be a temporary? Maybe if you can share that, well, I will not be here when you answer, you respond to the questions. The second one is on community print media. The mainstream media continue to receive the bulk of advertising revenue. Is this revenue coming from us that we're talking about? And maybe educate us, why should we give resources to the private sector in terms of advertising? Because my now understanding is that they pay for that advertising. I'm not sure. We are educating each other. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and also thanks to the department that would like to welcome the delegation. I've got quite a number of questions. The first one, just I take that this compliance statement comes from federal regulations, because it's similar to the one that was presented to us yesterday in the lead and mineral resources, and we've corrected this issue of a portfolio committee. Now, if it comes up again in this one, we were not a portfolio committee, we are a select committee. So that's why I think maybe it comes from federal regulation, maybe something that must be addressed at that level. Otherwise, when we to APPs for another department, we might find the same compliance statement. Yeah. My question is also on the context, the environment that you're painting on the situational analysis. First, it's similar to the issues that my colleague asked. If you talk about situational analysis with regard to the print media, issues of ownership patterns that have remained largely untransformed in terms of ownership and management control. But when you look at the strategic goals and strategic objectives, you don't see how this is being addressed. You don't have a strategic goals to address that. Because for me, when you have a situational analysis, it is my understanding, therefore, that you then come up with a solution with regard to if there's something that is negative, you then come to address that. Because you talk about the four newspaper groups that own about 95% of the print media. I don't know if that is your responsibility or giving you a responsibility that does not belong to you. But also similarly with the point that if there are any money that come from the department that are boosting the same for the media company or print media, then it means therefore we're not playing our role in transforming that particular industry. On on the issue of Perse, if we, I heard you say something about the 20% that goes to community and small commercial media. I don't know if I heard you correct, because my question before you, when you were presenting, I had already had a question because I went through the presentation, and that, you know, I wanted to find out what is the percentage that comes from the department to the community and small commercial media, but also what percentage that goes to the community radio station with regard to advertisement, what percentage. But also on community station, there's something about talking about districts. Are these stations per district or per local municipalities? The reason I'm asking is that you find in some metros, for example, where I come from, and there are two metros in the Eastern Cape, the Nelson Mandela Metro and the Buffalo City. You've got a number of community radio stations in these two metros. But then when you go to, say, the rural community, where I think these communities are needed, community radio stations are needed mostly, you find that there are very few. Perhaps you only have one per district. With district maybe which has five or even more local municipalities. In my area, for instance, the Eastern Cape is one of the vast provinces. I think it's the second after Northern Cape. But you, I was deployed in a community at Tempeji until recently. There was an application for a community radio station in that particular constituency. But when I conducted a person from the office of the deputy minister, her response was that there is a nearby municipality that already has applied for community radio station. So that what I want to find out is, are these the district municipalities or the local municipality? Because Pedi is far from Fort Beaufort, for instance, municipality. Why would then the issue be, or is it about the radius? You look at the radius before you allocate. I think that goes also for the APP, that this year you'll be focusing on five community radio stations. This is that to call it a national department to only allocate five. I mean, especially when you have nine provinces, I don't know how many districts and how many local municipalities, but then only five community radio stations this year. I know 25 in the MTE, but I'm just talking about this particular thing. It's a concern for me. Yeah, I think you've touched the issue of the temporal regulation, because I also had a question, why is temporal, the regulation on the online content? I don't know where I got this from. I think it's about it's something that most publications still appear in English and Afrikaans. I don't know. I think the same thing happens with these community radio stations. You find that I always make a couple of myself. I don't know what that is. You have a community radio station, which is vastly closer, effective, I would say 99% closer. But you find that when you listen to that radio station, it could be like, say 95% English. You have the doctor guitar or something, like you said, lingo. Not the language that is dominating in the area. But then when I was looking at this, then I thought even here in Parliament, but you don't have an executive that comes that we subject to accountability. What is ATCs that are in English and African? Why are the languages? But I know it doesn't belong to yourself. It's something that I think Parliament should really be addressing. On the macro organizational structure,
for me it would have been good you know, for instance, the branches that you're talking about, policy, strategy, implementation, and support, you had heads of those departments or directorates. It would have been nice if you were to indicate which one of these are vacant, or are they all, do they all have warm bodies? But also, linked to that, you said you are acting. Why are you acting? Why the department doesn't have a full-time director general? On also the staff establishment, you're talking about 374 approved, but there are 86 funded. How is then the service delivery affected by such a situation? This is worrisome for me, this 374, but also 86 funded. And because when you look at your budget for the next, or for the MTEF period, to me it gives an impression that we still going to have this kind of a situation for the next 3 years. Even it's worrisome for me. Yeah. This thing about the shareholder compact, I've just been wondering, I also participated in some boards where there is a department, we have a shareholder compact. Do these entities that belong to the company ever make dividends to the department? Because I know that there are entities that make profits. What happens to those profits if the department is, or is that concept only apply in the private sector, where you have dividends after the profits, so that the shareholders also benefit? How do the company, I mean the mother department, benefit from the profits of its entity? As a general question, I need to be educated on that one. Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chairman.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Is there any other member who wants to ask, please? Honorable Lavista and Honorable Paul.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation. There's a few questions that's already been asked. I just want on the communal radio stations, I agree with Honorable Chai, and I just want to know, on the five for this year, the five stations, what is it, a set of criteria that you use, and could you maybe provide the committee with a set of criteria, and then specifically for this year, which five community stations and where are they located? And then, now I'll blame myself, confusing myself from where I am, it's page 21. Page 21, did you refer to Program 3.3 on the transformed communication sector and said we should take interest in that, which I agree with you. And therefore, Chair, through you, my suggestion is that the department should give us timely feedback on the plans and the reports and or invite and let us coordinate and so that we know what is going on there and what the department plans. Then, I just want to know on program 4, page 22. No, I'm wrong. This is just find my place. On page 20, on the set-top boxes. Can the department give us an idea of how many set-top boxes you have, where in the which provinces you are rolling out now, and asking the people how many set-top boxes per province does the department plan to roll out according to the applications, and what is the budget for that specifically in this year and the next year, and so that we can have an idea in the end how many of them is going to be there. And then
page 29. As part of the 8th annual target in 2016-17, community media support strategy implemented. I would like that the department refer there to a research report on community media support compiled. When that report is being compiled, whether it's, I can't make us whether it's going to be quarterly or only one for this year, or but that report will also be presented to the select committee, and the same applies for the quarterly report on page 31, the number of reports showing consumer access to digital broadcasting, in particular those with government subsidized set-top boxes, and they refer to a four quarterly consumer access reports, that we just get information on those reports to the select committee as well. Thank you.
That will be carrying, particularly this year.
interface with the elections, then we can write and say, you know, we are rejecting it. We don't adopt it. We want to reject it so that there should be at least some adjustment before we can improve it. Before we can approve it. To what extent can it impact you negatively? Because indeed, if you look at it, this cost containment is posing a lot of impediments in your program. Okay. The second one is the support in the community radio. Support in kind is the personnel in the radio station. Are they financially, in terms of their salaries, being supported by yourself? Thank you. Two questions.
Thank you,
Thanks for the questions. I will respond to some of the questions, and my colleagues will also come in to deal with the questions that were raised. I think on the question of the consultants, I think you are right, honourable member, that very often, departments we commission work. When we don't even know what exactly we are looking for. Hence, when the report is done, it's shelved and put somewhere there. Nobody cares about it. And I think we are saying as a department, because we are few, if you don't understand the business that you are in, you will not be able to provide leadership to the center. So let's learn together. Let's make mistakes together. And I think we'll be able to be better, a better department, which can respond to the needs of the sector going forward. So that is the attitude of the minister, which he has instilled in all of us, that we should at all times try to do the best from within, little as we are. So I think we'll continue with that same attitude going forward. You know, I must say, this department, the minister is quite involved, because this is the department which is at the coalface between government and the people. Almost every second week of the month, the minister is, the department and the minister or the deputy minister, they are somewhere in the community. Almost every week, there is something that they are doing in the community, championing the work of government, as it were. All of those things requires resources, especially financial resources. Where we can, we partner with the local municipalities, they support it, and so on. And I think I just want to make that statement that the political principals are quite active on the ground, as it were. Perhaps I think there is need to be that close relationship with this committee so that we can plan and can assist in terms of what kind of support we can get from your provinces. There was an issue about the temporary measure on the Googles and this digital revolution, etc. The temporary word we are using there is that in the world today, the policymakers are grappling with how do you regulate these changes, as it were. Because most of these guys, for example, Google, they stream from Silicon Valley in the US and so on. They run advice, they run all of these things. So, how do you deal with those kind of issues? So that's why we're using the temporary measures. It's something that we have to look at, all of us, and see what is the best model that we can adopt in the country without stifling innovation. You will recall that the telecommunication portfolio committee
has had hearings on this matter, on the over the top. What do you do with your Googles and all? Because the stream content, as it was, sometimes the content is not in line with the rules of the laws of the country. It should be content which can create unrest and all of those things. Which led into, if you look at, for example, in the north of Africa, the uprising and all of those things. So it is a challenge to all policymakers, and I think we are seeing the same thing in the broadcasting space, where you've got this video on demand, issues coming. You've got a company like Netflix. Netflix is here. So they're streaming content from Hollywood and so on. Sometimes the movies that they are going to stream are offensive. It's like, you must classify that movie, that it should be cordial, it must be not harmful, and all of those things. So how do you put a regulatory regime that begins to look at all of those things? That's why they went to use temporary measures around that, until we find a permanent solution. You will see, when there was a hearing by the telecoms, they brought their best minds, in to defend that we don't need regulation on this matter. Leave us, in that space and so on. So it's always in those words there. I think the issue of the print media. You said, honourable member, that should also use this opportunity to share some of these things. See, the over the years, we have tried to want to bring about transformation in the space, more especially in terms of management and control, as it were. And whenever Parliament tries to do something around this matter, the industry always comes with something to avoid that question of transformation. Either they say, no, it's fine, we want to do this, but no, let's have a task team, print and what media and development task team. They do the task team, report is done, somebody shares it. Nobody implements it. We've got reports around that. Or you want to say, no, let's do media regulation, for example, tribunal. But no, it's fine, there's no need for that. We can, the safe regulation. No, we'll have a retired judge who will do a press contest. They will do whatever, do the report and all of those things. The report is done, nobody follows up, and all of those things. We've got examples of that. Because the sector as it is, remember the communication determines how people see the world. This is at the heart of this. It determines how you shape the perceptions. And so on, which is something that people know that they will not want it to be regulated, because if it suits their agenda, then it's fine. So it is on the basis of that, then you find this resistance around that area. But what we have said now, going forward, is to say, instead of looking at this issue of management and control, we are going to look at the whole value chain. For example, you look at the whole value chain. When you've got you ask the question, what does it take to have a newspaper on the market? So you require to have your printing press, for example. You must have a place where you must print. So ask the question, where is everybody printing? And we find that it's either you're printing with the PAL Media, which is a subsidiary of Media 24, or you are printing with a Texten, which is, these are the two major players in that space. And they print for almost everybody, including community newspapers, who are supposed to be providing the news. Remember, they use it now as a tool to be competitive, because they will dictate the size of your paper, the font you must use, because the font, remember, the size and the font and design determines whether I buy the news or not.
So if the font is not palatable to me, I will not buy. Even if the thought is good. So we have then said, now, let's move away from the issue of just focusing on only who owns who. But we go deep into the value chain. Let's deal with the issue of the print. Because imagine if you, you know, I'm saying this because we're sharing information. Imagine if you are a newspaper, which is a place in, you are a newspaper in Messina. You don't have money, you're in your non-profit organization, and so on. You've got all of these grants from MTDA. You must go and print. How do you move from Messina to go and print in Cape Town? It's a cost. So you can't even have the numbers, because most of your resource that you have is now geared towards the, yeah. So we have identified that as a barrier, and so on. How about if we're able to provide capacity, so that people don't have to travel long distances to go and print the paper and all of those things, and so on. As government, we're looking at that as a way. So in a way, the policy that you don't see here, which is in our operation plan that we're working on now, is the media transparency policy, which is going to look at the whole value chain. Secondly, once that is done, the advertisement, which in essence I think links to the question about why as government, you know, we still support these big guys and all of those things. Precisely why? Because you as government you say 30%. They say, for example, on the position, I think there's a regulation. Around how you advertise positions. It says it must be in two national newspapers. The regulation was done in 1994. Okay? So it does not cater for example, for a municipality. Because if you don't do that as a government department, you will be in contravention of that regulation. And so on. So I think part of what we are looking at is to try to say, how do we deal with the issue? There's no point, for example, for a municipality in somewhere in the Northern Cape to be advertising for a position of a community development officer in Sunday Times. Sunday Times is going to charge you like they're charging anybody, because they charge on the basis of circulation and so on. The second issue we're saying we must look at is this whole question about the circulation. Not the circulation, how many because it determines the price with which they charge. If Sunday Times is saying our circulation per day is 1 million circulation, it means that you have got almost if you do the indirect, you know, because one paper can be read by five people, probably they can give you all these other numbers. It says that I can reach about 6 million people. Therefore, my rate at which you are returning a paper is so much, which again it excludes community media. So it's all of those things that we are looking at, you know, with the ministers. We can be able to zoom into the problematic areas and come with interventions, you know, in those kind of areas, you know, going forward. And I guess the minister will be able to, you know, say a lot of this during budget vote speech and so on. But I think it's all of those things that we are looking at as a department. So I thought I would just give you those challenges at that level. So the other issue on the percentage of this expenditure, I'll ask the colleagues at GCIS, I think our colleague Leo will follow that up, and then we'll provide you with the statistics on how we are spending the money in the community. There is that spread, but the spread is still very much skewed into the big four. This then will give you a sense of so actually what you see in the papers or in the media regarding the skewed net of the expenditure is not necessarily true. Because the very same ones who are making noise are the ones who are still getting more money from the state. Around that. So all of those figures, I think the colleagues who can give it to you, so that you can see by yourself how much you spend for example, on Sunday Times, how much you spend on City Press and all of those things, and so on. So, so if you can aggregate, for example, you find that Media 24 has got many titles. So if you aggregate what they get as a title, you find that probably is 10 times more than what people are worried about, you know, for a community radio station and so on. So this is the battle of a, because advertising is the lifeblood of a newspaper, as it were. So I think the GCIS can give you those information in terms of how much you spend around that. The issue of the stations, are they based the district, are they for local? I think the policy over the years has always been that there must be one community radio station per district municipality. I think over the time the lines become blurred, and what you have now is a bit of a challenge, because you find that in some municipalities you find that there are more than 10 community radio stations in our city. Yet they must survive, they must get advertising and so on. So this is one thing that made, for example, ICASA to me to put the moratorium. So that we can take stock of what is available, so that we can be able to look at whether we can match some of these, so that you can create economies of scale, and so that they can be able to benefit from bigger pool of advertising, where they could. So the idea was one of a district, but this has, the lines have become blurred over time because of the weaknesses in monitoring and evaluation. It's one thing that as we look at the mandate of the MDDA, we will say we want audit, where are these stations and all of those things. And one thing that you must know is that some of the stations now that you say they are community radio stations or community print media, they are no longer. They are now being taken over by commercial and so on. So meaning that they are able to send one message across. That's why one message across, which runs from the parent company right through into the community. You don't even see the paper is the community, but it doesn't even carry, only carries 5% of what happens in the community. But 95% is what is happening nationally. I'm not saying there must not be any reflection nationally, but I think community must reflect what is happening in the community, and so on. So there is that element which has happened, even in the print media. One thing we're finding now is the research we've done, is that you find that Times Media, the old community radio stations. Now, there's an issue about cross-media ownership. You're not allowed to own a newspaper and a radio station, and so the lines have become very blurred, you know, and so that's the, so I thought I must just say those as a way of sharing information or the thinking that we have in the department under the leadership of the minister, so that we can tackle these issues more systematically, and we can find a permanent solution to the issues. The five community radio stations that we spoke about, in the main, the consideration is about the resources. For example, to build a studio for the community radio stations, it requires it requires about between 1.5 million and 1.7 to build a studio, a proper studio. And for community radio stations, we build proper digital studios. We don't build analog studios anymore. So it's mostly the financial consideration around the number. I think Matoko will deal with the issue about the funding post. Is it 8400? She will deal with that. The shareholder compact, the minister is required by the law to only sign performance agreement, shareholder compact with the SABC. Only the SABC shareholder compact. Now, the end of taxes, we have taken a decision, minister has taken a decision that she will sign what you call governance instruments with all entities in terms of how they will manage the relationship and all of those things. It's a good corporate governance measure for myself as a department, and so on. So the other issue was around the issue of dividend, whether we
of dividend and so on. And you know that in terms of the PFMA, any money accrued by a state-owned entity or a government goes to the National Revenue Fund, as it were. So, and then it's in the pool, and Treasury will then determine to allocate it depending on the needs. The money can end up, allocated for housing and for all of those things. So that is the law. The PFMA allows, DCFO can add around that issue. And I think on the issue of the set-top boxes, how many province, I think we'll still be able to come back to you on that in terms of how many. But I can safely say that the production is happening. The minister and the team has listed some of the production companies. We have physically seen, and we have ministers literally we have connected. People in Northern Cape, for example, as I speak, in Kemos, they are receiving quality television, which is free of charge. They don't have to pay a cent for it. The pictures are very clear and all of those things. So I should be able to come back to you around that with the how many we've done so. And then what on the budget? The budget for set-top box is 2.45 billion as it is. Already in the kitty, Treasury has allocated almost more than 1.8 billion rands is there in the account of USASA. So there is a budget for the Treasury that they've allocated for that. I think on the issue of the research report of the MDDA, in essence, I think he was trying to say, how do we audit the assets that we have, that we have supported in all of those things, that we can be able to come with intervention that can assist us to move forward in that regard. I think the people who are working in the community registration, we don't support them financially, we don't pay their salaries. Entities have to find, with little money that they get on the advertising and so on. But I think if you look at the contribution of the community radio stations to the broader broadcasting sector, almost 70% of people who are joining this space now, one way or another, they've got a relationship with the community radio stations somewhere. Either as a volunteer, many of them is people who are passionate and all of those things. So they end up being pushed by, Klonene, Kukwezi, Mutrehing, and all of those things. So it also forms part of the skills development in that area, so in that way. I'll ask my colleagues to deal with the questions on the if you want to add something to say for, and topic on the questions of the chat. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, DG, for the answer. I think just to add on what the acting DG has said on the dividend aspect, I think honorable members will know that for every institution, they get money from Treasury, and if there is a surplus, if you want to retain it, you do the necessary applications annually and continue with the business. Then you must prove the reason why you must retain that surplus and whatever. Otherwise, it goes back to National Treasury and they will do the allocation as it says. And then the other issue is on the... thanks for the comments on the quality of the report. And thank you. We are really honored in that regard. The biggest challenge, honorable members, is the question on the budget vis-a-vis the plans and what will happen if you reject it. Unfortunately, we are not operating in silos. There is a committee on finance that is looking at the totality of the budget for the government. And if they approve the budget as it stands today, there is nothing we can do. And even if you can say you are not adopting the plan, given that the budget must be looked back and go back, you are saying we must go back to the same treasury that has done the allocation to redo the allocation and again. So unfortunately, at these circumstances, it's out of our control. But what I will advise the committee members to do is that, given the information you have in hand, we have given you the power to influence the adjustment budget process. To say we have looked at the plans in the Department of Communication, how about during adjustment budget, you give them something to look at and make sure that they deal with that. And given the information on hand, that's the report that you have currently to go and influence that process. But as a department, we are currently engaging National Treasury to see, because we know that certain departments, come the end of the financial year, they do what is called discrepancy. And if those monies can be done during the end of the financial year, can they look at us with the messy eyes and assist us to really build this department? Because you can imagine if you have structure for 374 and you're only having 86 posts being funded, how long are you going to implement that structure? So it will take us more than 6 years to do that. But it's a challenge for us, because now there is a directive in terms of cost containment measures to lock out the person. If they lock out the person before we could even do 50% of 374, it means for the entire Department of Communication for the coming year, we'll be stuck with what we are having. It raises a challenge in terms of implementation of our plans moving forward. And that's unfortunate, because it will affect the performance of the department in totality, that at the end we won't be able to carry the mandate as it is. Currently, in terms of the support and what we are behaving, if you look at our budget, basically we are funding warm bodies that must do policies on their own, because we cannot appoint anybody to do the policies. At the same time, do entity oversight on our own, which is the bigger chunk where our money goes, which needs more resources in for us to be able to do that monitoring oversight on them. That creates a serious challenge in terms of that process. But we will appeal to the committee to assist the minister in terms of bidding for more funds during the adjustment budget and see if we cannot be assisted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. On the questions about the organizational structure, Chairperson, the organizational structure of the department was approved when the department was being established, and upon the operation, when the establishment was now being implemented. But to say that the approved organizational structure, as you can see on the second column, was not funded that much. I think it was only the post of DG and a few senior manager posts that were funded. And the 86 posts that are funded are mainly posts that came from the DTPS, which is the former DOC, when some of their functions were transferred, those employees were transferred. And the other funds were from the GCIS in order to create the branch corporate services. The branch corporate services was created and funded with the budget from GCIS. There was no budget at all allocated there. So the number 186, yes, it was 100 at some point, but as the department it became operational, then as management we realized that some of the posts that are funded, especially in the corporate services posts, in the corporate services space, we can move the funds and fund other posts that we can assist in the core management of the department. So that is why you see the number 186, but now the number is that 86. And in terms of the posts that are filled on this the organizational structure that is on the peg, it's not a lot that are filled. On the first branch is only one post, and all the other posts are not funded in that branch. And the second branch is four posts. It's four posts. Oh, it's schools that are funded and that are filled, and the others are not funded. And in the next, which is the third branch, is only one post that is filled and all the others are not funded. The post of DG, why is it vacant? We are still in the process of appointing a DG. We have advertised and the process is being carried out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other questions? If not, I think it's time for me to say thank you very much for your time in the presentation. Yeah. Come again, honorable member?
No, thank you very much.
thank you very much for your time and the presentation. I don't know whether there is something that you want to say, but everything went well, and thank you for your answer.
I think what we can promise, I think, Lebo, to do the what we promise that we must submit, we should do that by next week, Thursday. To you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Can we, as committee, please go to the presentation to adopt the presentation? As of the minute, sorry, we at our forum.
Did you have more than a time?